Tunde. Tell me, says Tunde, what is it you want? One of the men on the protest line waggles his banner in the air. The banner reads, Justice for Men. The others give out a rattling, ragged cheer and fetch another round of brewskis from the cooler.
What it says, one of them opines, we want justice. It's the government did this and the government has to put it right.
It's a slow afternoon. The air is syrupy and it's going to hit 104 in the shade out here. It is not the best day to be at a protest at a mall in Tucson, Arizona. He only came because he'd had an anonymous tip-off that something was going to happen here today. It had sounded pretty convincing, but it's panning out into nothing at all.
Any of you guys involved with the internet at all? Batshitcrazy.com, Babe Truth, Urban Docs, any of that online stuff?
The guys shake their heads.
I saw an article in the newspaper, says one of them, a man who apparently decided to shave only the left half of his face this morning. Says that the new country, Bezapara, is chemically castrating all the men. That's what they're gonna do to all of us.
I don't think that's true, says Tunde.
Look, I cut the piece out in the paper.
The guy starts to rummage in his satchel. A bunch of old receipts and empty packets of chips tumble out onto the asphalt.
Shit,
he says, and chases after his litter. Tunde films him idly on his camera phone. There are so many other stories he could be working on. He should have gone to Bolivia. They've proclaimed their own female pope. The progressive government in Saudi Arabia is starting to look vulnerable to religious extremism. He could be back there doing a follow-up on his original story. There are even gossip stories more interesting than this. The daughter of a newly elected governor in New England has been photographed with a boy. A boy, apparently, with a visible skein. Tunde's heard about this. He did a piece where he spoke to doctors about treating girls with skein deformations and problems. Not all girls have it. Contrary to early thinking, about 5 girls in 1,000 are born without. Some of the girls don't want it and try to cut it out of themselves. One of them tried with scissors, the doctor said. 11 years old. Scissors. Snipping at herself like a paper cutout doll. And there are a few boys with chromosome irregularities who have it too. Sometimes they like it, and sometimes they don't. Some boys ask the doctors if they can have theirs removed. The doctor has to tell them no. They don't know how to do that. More than 50% of the time, if a skein is severed, the person dies. They don't know why. It's not a vital organ. The current theory is that it is connected to the electrical rhythm of the heart, and its removal disrupts something there. They can remove some of the strands of it, to make it less powerful, less noticeable. But once you have it, you've got it. Tunde tries to imagine what it'd be like to have one. A power you can't give away or trade. He feels himself yearning for it, repulsed by it. He reads online forums where men say that if all the men in the world had one, everything would be back the way it ought to be. They're angry and afraid. He understands that. Since Delhi, he's been afraid too. He joins UrbanDocSpeaks.com under a pseudonym and posts a few comments and questions. He comes across a sub-forum discussing his own work. They call him a gender traitor there because he did that story about Awadhi Atif rather than keeping it secret. And he's not reporting on the men's movement and on their particular conspiracy theories. When he got the email saying something was going to happen here today, he thought, he doesn't know what he thought, that maybe there was something here for him. Not just the news, but something that would explain a feeling he's having these days. But this is nothing. He succumbed to fear, is all it is. Since Delhi, he's running away from the story, not towards it. He'll get online in his hotel this evening and see if there's still anything to report in Sucre. See when the next plane down is. There is a sound like thunder. Tunde looks towards the mountains, expecting to see storm clouds. But it's not a storm, and it's not thunder. The sound comes again, louder, and a huge cloud of smoke erupts from the far end of the mall. And they're screaming.
Shit, says one of the men with their beers and signs. I think that's a bomb.
Tunde runs towards the sound, holding his camera very steady. There is a cracking sound, and he hears masonry falling. He rounds the building. The fondue chain place is on fire. Some other units are collapsing. People are running from the building.
There was a bomb,
one of them says, directly into Tunde's camera lens. His face covered in brick dust, small cuts bleeding through his white shirt.
There are people trapped in there!
He likes this version of himself, the one who runs to get closer to danger, not away from it. Every time he does it, he thinks, yes, good, this is still me. But that in itself is a new thought. Tunde circles the wreckage. Two teenagers have fallen. He helps them up, encourages one to put her arm around the other for support, because her ankle is already blooming great blue bruises.
Who did this?
She cries directly at the lens.
Who did this?
That is the question. Someone has blown up a fondue restaurant, two shoe stores, and a well woman clinic. Tunde stands back from the building and takes a wide-angled shot. It's pretty impressive. To his right, the mall is on fire. To the left, the entire front of the building has come away. A whiteboard with shift allocation still attached to it crashes from the second floor to the ground while he films it. He zooms in. Kayla, 3:30 to 9 p.m. Deborah, 7 a.m. Someone is crying out. Not far away, but hard to spot in the dust on dust, there is a pregnant woman trapped in the rubble. She is lying on her huge belly. She must be 8 months gone. And a concrete pillar is trapping her leg. Something smells of gasoline. Tunde puts down the camera, safely, so that it's still recording, and tries to crawl a little closer to her.
It's okay, he says, hopelessly. Ambulances are coming. It's going to be okay.
She screams at him. Her right leg is crushed to bloody meat. She keeps trying to pull away from it, to kick back against the pillar. Tunde's instinct is to hold her hand, but she is discharging with great force every time she kicks against the pillar. It is probably involuntary. Pregnancy hormones increase the magnitude of the power, perhaps a side effect of a number of biological changes during this time. Although people say now, very simply, it's to protect the baby. There are women who've knocked their nurses clean out while giving birth. Pain and fear. These things whittle away control. Tunde shouts out for help. There's no one nearby.
Tell me your name, he says. I'm Tunde.
She winces and says,
Joanna.
Joanna, breathe with me, he says. In. He holds it for a count of five. Then out. She tries, grimacing, frowning. She breathes in and puffs it out.
Help is coming, Tunde says. They'll get you out. Breathe again.
In and out. Once more in and out. The spasms are no longer jerking her body. There's a creak in the concrete above them. Joanna tries to crane her neck around.
What's happening?
Is Joe some strip lights? Tunde can see them dangling there by just a wire or two.
It sounds like the roof is coming down.
It's not.
Don't leave me here. Don't leave me alone under here.
It's not coming down, Joanna. It's just the lights. One of the fluorescent strips, dangling by a single wire, sways and snaps and crashes into the rubble. Joanna jerks and spasms again. Even as Tunde is saying,
it's okay, it's okay.
She's breaking again into that uncontrollable cycle of jolts and pain. She's struggling to pull herself out from under the pillar. Tunde is saying,
please, please, breathe.
And she's saying,
don't leave me here, it's coming down.
She sends her power into the concrete, and a wire thread within the concrete connects with another and another. A light bulb explodes in sparks, and a spark ignites the gasoline-smelling fluid that had been dripping. and there is fire, suddenly all around her. She is still shouting as Tunde picks up his camera and runs. That's the image they freeze on the screen. They've said they'd be upsetting images after all. No one should be surprised to see this, but isn't it just terrible? Kristin's face is grim.
I think anyone watching would agree that whoever did this is the scum of the earth.
In a letter to this news channel, a terrorist group calling itself Male Power has claimed responsibility for the attack, which destroyed a medical clinic catering to women's health issues alongside a busy mall in Tucson, Arizona. They claim the attack is only the first day of action, intended to force the government to act against the so-called enemies of man. A spokesperson for the Office of the President has just completed a press conference, giving the strong message that the government of the United States does not negotiate with terrorists, and that the claims of this conspiracy theory splinter group are nonsense. Well now, what are they even protesting about, Tom? Tom scowls, just a micro-expression, before the practiced face peels over the real one, the smile smooth as frosting on a cupcake.
They want equality, Kristin.
Someone saying, cut to commercial in 30 in their earpieces, and Kristen's trying to wrap it up. But something's going on with Tom. He's not bringing this chat to a conclusion.
Well, Tom, there's no way to take this thing back now. They can't rewind time, although, smile, in our next segment, we'll be rewinding a little dance history to take you back to a craze called swing.
No, says Tom.
Commercial in 10, says a producer, very calm and level.
These things happen. Problems at home, stress, overwork, health anxiety, money worries. They've seen it all, really.
The CDC is hiding things from us, Tom says. That's what they've been protesting. Have you seen some of that stuff online? Things are being kept from us. Resources are being channeled in the wrong direction. There's no funding for self-defense classes or armor for men, and all this money going to those North Star girls training camps, for God's sake? What the hell is that about? And fuck you, Kristin. We both know you've got this fucking thing, too. And it's changed you. It's made you hard. You're not even a real woman anymore. 4 years ago, Kristin, you knew what you were and what you had to offer this network. And what the fuck are you now?
Tom knows they went to commercial a long time ago now. Probably just after he said no. Probably they thought a few seconds of dead air was better than this. He sits very still after he's finished, looking straight ahead into the eye of camera 3. That's always been his favourite camera. Shows off the angle of his chin, the little dimple there. He's Kirk Douglas almost on camera 3. He is Spartacus. He always thought he could get into acting eventually. Just small parts to start with. Maybe at first he'd be playing a news anchor, and then something like the teacher in a high school comedy who turns out to understand the kids better than any of them realised, because, you know, he was pretty wild too way back when. Well, that's all over now. Let it go, Tom. Let those thoughts go from your mind.
You done? Says Kristin.
Sure.
They get him out before they come back off commercial. He doesn't even resist, except that he doesn't like that hand on his shoulder and fights it off. He can't bear a hand touching him, he says, so they let him be. He's worked for a long time, and if he goes easy now, his pension might still be secure.
Tom's been taken sick, very sadly, says Kristin,
bright eyes earnest down camera 2.
He's okay, and he'll be back with us real soon. And now, the weather on the ones.
From his hospital bed in Arizona, Tunde watches the reports of the story unfold. He emails and Facebooks with his family and friends back in Lagos. His sister, Temi, is dating a boy now, someone a couple of years younger than her. She wants to know if Tunde has a girl out there in all this travelling. Tunde tells her there's not much time for that. There had been a white woman for a while, another journalist who he'd met in Singapore and travelled with as far as Afghanistan. She's not worth mentioning.
Come home, says Temi. Come home for 6 months.
and we'll find you a nice girl. You're 27, man. Getting old. It's time to settle down.
The white woman, her name was Nina, had said,
Do you think you have PTSD?
It was because she'd used her thing in bed, and he'd shied away from it, told her to stop, started crying. He'd said,
I am stranded a long way from home, and there is no way to get back.
We all are, she'd said. Nothing worse has happened to him than to anyone. There is no reason for him to be afraid, no more reason than any other man. Nina's been texting him since he's been in hospital, asking if she can come and see him. He keeps saying no, not yet. It's while he's in hospital that the email comes in. Just 5 short lines, but the sender address is right. He checks it hasn't been spoofed.
From info@urbandocspeaks.com to olatundeedo@gmail.com. We saw your reporting from the mall in Arizona. We read your essay about what happened to you in Delhi. We are on the same side. We're on the side of all men. If you've seen what happened in the Cleary election, you've understood what we're fighting for. Come and talk to us on the record. We want you on our team. Urban Docs.
It's not even a question. There's still his book to be written. The book. Those 900 pages of chronicle and explanation. He has it all with him on his laptop all the time. There's no question about this. A meeting with Urban Docs. Of course he will. The theatrics around it are ridiculous. He can't bring his own equipment. We'll give you a phone to record the interview, they tell him. For God's sake. I understand, he writes back. You can't compromise your position. They like that. It feeds into their sense of who they are. You're the only one we trust. They say, you tell the truth. You have seen the chaos for what it is. You were invited to the action in Arizona, and you came. You are the one we want. The way they talk is positively messianic. Yes, he emails back. I have wanted to talk to you for a long time. Of course, there's a meeting point in the parking lot of a Denny's. Of course there is. Of course, there's a blindfold ride in a Jeep, and men wearing black, all white men, with balaclavas over their faces. These are men who've watched too many movies. This has become a thing now. Men's movie clubs, in living rooms and back rooms of bars, watching particular kinds of movies over and over again. The ones with explosions and helicopter crashes and guns and muscles and punching. Guy flicks. After all this, when they take off his blindfold, he's in a storage locker. It's dusty. There's someone's old boxes of VHS cassettes labelled A-Team in the corner. And there's Urban Docs, sitting in a chair, smiling. He looks different to his profile pictures. He's in his mid-50s. He's bleached his hair so that it's very pale, almost white. His eyes are a pallid, watery blue. Tunde's read something about this man. There was, by all accounts, a terrible childhood, violence, racial hatred. There was a string of failed businesses, leaving dozens of people owed thousands of dollars each. There was, eventually, a night school law degree and a reinvention as a blogger. He's well built for a man of his age, though his face is faintly grey. The great change in the tide of things has been good for Urban Docs. He'd been blogging his mean-spirited, semi-literate, bigoted, angry rhetoric for years, but recently, more and more people, men and indeed some women, have started to listen. He's denied over and over again being tied to the violent splinter groups that have bombarded shopping malls and public parks in half a dozen states now. But if he's not linked to them, they like to link themselves to him. One of the recent accurate bomb threats contained simply an address, a time, and the web address of Urban Docs' latest screed on the coming gender war. He's softly spoken. His voice is more high-pitched than Tunde was expecting. He says, You know, they're going to try to kill us. Tunde has said to himself,
Just listen. He says, who's trying to kill us?
Urban Doc says, the women.
Tunde says, aha, tell me more about that.
A sly smile spreads over the man's face. You've read my blog. You know what I think.
I'd like to hear it in your own words, on tape. I think people would like to hear it. You think the women are trying to kill...
Oh, I don't think, son. I know. None of this is an accident. They talk about guardian angel, that stuff that got into the water supply, and how it built up in the water table. They say no one could have predicted it. Phooey. Bullcrap. This has been planned. This was decided on. After the end of the Second World War, when the peaceniks and do-gooders had the upper hand, they decided to put this stuff in the water. They thought men had had their turn, and we'd messed it up. Two world wars in two generations. Pussy whip beaters and faggots, all of them.
Tunde's read this theory before. You can't have a good conspiracy plot without any conspirators. He's only surprised that Urban Docs hasn't mentioned Jews.
The Zionists use the concentration camps as emotional blackmail to get the stuff shipped out in the water.
There we go.
It was a declaration of war. Silent, stealthy. They armed their warriors before they sounded the first battle cry. They were among us before we even knew we'd been invaded. Our own government has the cure, you know. They've got it under lock and key, but they won't use it except on the precious few. And the end game? You know the end game? They hate us all. They want us all dead.
Tunde thinks of the women he's known. Some of the journalists he was in Basra with. Some of the women from the siege in Nepal. There have been women these past years who have put their bodies between him and harm so he could take his footage out to the world. They don't, he says. Shit! That was not what he meant to do. Urban Docs laughs.
They've got you right where they want you, son. Under the thumb. Believing their crap. Bet a woman's helped you once or twice, right? She's taken care of you. She's looked after you. She protected you when you were in trouble.
Tunde nods warily.
Well, shit, of course they do that. They want us docile and confused. Old army tactic. If you're only ever an enemy, the people will know to fight you wherever they see you. If you hand out candy to the kids and medicine to the weak, you jumble their minds up. They don't know how to hate you. See?
Yes, I see.
It's starting already. Have you seen the numbers on domestic violence against men? On murders of men by women?
He has seen those numbers. He carries them with him like a lozenge of ice lodged in his throat.
That's how it starts, says Urban Docs. That's how they soften us up, make us weak and afraid. That's how they have us where they want us. It's all part of a plan. They're doing it because they've been told to.
Tunde thinks, no, that's not the reason. The reason is because they can.
Are you being funded, he says, by the exiled king Awadi Atif of Saudi Arabia?
Urban Docs smiles.
There are a lot of men out there who are worried about where this thing is heading, my friend. Some of them are weak, traitors to their gender and their people. Some of them think the women will be kind to them. But a lot of them know the truth. We haven't had to go begging for money.
And you said the end game.
Urban Doc shrugs. Like I say, they want to kill us all.
But the survival of the human race?
Women are just animals, says Urban Docs. Just like us, they want to mate, reproduce, have healthy offspring. One woman, though, she's pregnant for 9 months.
She can care for maybe 5 or 6 kids well across her life. So, Urban Docs frowns. Like this is the most obvious thing in the world. They'll only keep the most genetically healthy of us alive. See, this is why God meant men to be the ones with the power. However bad we treat a woman, well, it's like a slave. Tunde feels his shoulders tighten. Say nothing. Just listen. Take the footage. Use it and sell it. Make money out of this scumbag. Sell him out. Show him up for what it is. See, people got slavery wrong. If you have a slave, that slave's your property. You don't want damage to come to it. However bad any man treated a woman, he needs her in a fit condition to carry a child. But now, one genetically perfect man can sire 1,000, 5,000 children? And what do they need the rest of us for? They're going to kill us all. Listen to me. Not one in 100 will live. Perhaps not one in 1,000. And your evidence for that is, oh, I've seen documents. More than that, I can use my brain. So can you, son. I've watched you. You're smart. Urban Docs lays a moist, clammy hand on Tunde's arm. Join us. Become part of what we're doing. We'll be there for you, son, when all these others have gone away, because we're on the same side. Tunde nods. We need laws now to protect men. We need curfews on women. We need the government to release all the funding they need to research that cure. We need men to stand up and be counted. We are being ruled by fags who worship women. We need to cut them down. And that's the purpose of your terror attacks. Urban Doc smiles again. You well know that I have never initiated or encouraged a terror attack. Yes, he's been very careful. But, says Urban Doc, if I were in touch with any of those men, I'd guess they'd barely gotten started. A bunch of weapons got lost in the fall of the Soviet Union. You know, real nasty stuff. Could be they have some of that. Wait, says Tunde. Are you threatening to orchestrate domestic terrorism with nuclear weapons? I'm not threatening anything, says Urban Docs, his eyes pale and cold.